Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community.
Heart that I'd rather have any church that I would belong to than to have God's heart. And so we began to unpack that, and we talked about the story of the prodigal son. It's the story of a father who honored his son's wishes and gave him his inheritance. But it's not only the son, the story of the one son who requested more or less in that culture, in that day of, "Dad, I wish you were dead because I want my inheritance now. Give it to me so I can go squander it and live the life that I want to live." It's not only the son, the story of that son, but it's also really the story of the other son and his heart. And we unpacked that a little bit last week, and you really learn that as you look at it, as you look at the story of the prodigal son, you have to come to the conclusion, or at least I came to the conclusion, that the youngest son was a little bit crazy. He wasn't thinking with a full deck, if you know what I'm saying. Because he had everything that you could want. He had everything that he needed. His life was set, but he didn't want to do it the way that it was put before him. He wanted to do it his way. And the father honored his requests and gave him his inheritance. And he went out and tried to do it his way and squandered what he had. How many have ever tried to do it your way and it didn't work out for you? Right? All of us have been there. And this, but then there's the story of the older son as well. We'll get to him a little bit later. But, you know, the youngest son gets the third of his inheritance. He blows it on just crazy living, wild living. And on top of that, a famine hits in the land that he's living in, right? And so he relocates himself to, "I need to find a job. There's pigs that need to be fed. I will go." He's so desperate as a young Jewish boy. That would just have been the most demeaning task for him to do that, to go feed the pigs. And so he began to do that. He began to feed the pigs, and that was his job. And I've told the story before. I don't look like a pig farmer. Right? Please say yes. Thank you. But we've had, sort of, some days, but we've had pigs before, not because we were pig farmers, but our boys were in 4-H when we lived out in Goodland. We had, there was a couple summers where we had four pigs, and we didn't buy high dollar pigs. We bought cheap pigs. And when you buy cheap pigs, you have to do things for those cheap pigs to help them along in the process. Because their process is I want to eat, and I want to eat, and I want to eat, and they get bigger and bigger and bigger. And so because we bought cheap pigs, we would have to walk our pigs a month and a half before fair time hit. Because we would take them in, and we're like, "You're already at fair weight. We got a problem." And so we would have to take our pigs, and we would literally walk our pigs 2 miles a day. For about 6 weeks before fair, and do that for, it was crazy. Sunday mornings before church, it was back in the day where we, you know, pastors, pretty much all the pastors at that time would, they were still wearing suits. So I had my suit on, loaded up in my truck, you know, at 7 in the morning, drove out to my in-law's house where the pigs were. I was all duddied up. Man, you have never seen a better dressed pig walker than me. And I would be out there walking the pigs around my Robin's parents' house, just walking, tied, flapping in the wind, hoping that the pigs would not shake because they would get mud all over me. But that's our experience. And here's this guy who left everything because he wanted his inheritance and he wanted to spend it his way and live according to his way and live according to what he thought would be the fun way to live. And he ended up in the pig pen. Look at it, verse 20 of Luke chapter 15. "And he arose, came to his senses." What am I doing? says he arose, came to his father, but while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring the fattened calf and kill it and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. How many know whenever you give yourself to sin, whenever you give yourself to living a selfish life, you give yourself to death. The wages of sin is death. And in this father's mind, he heard how his son was living. Man, my son was dead. He was lost and he is found, and they began to celebrate. Now, I want you to pay attention to that very last portion of it. Pay attention to how he was greeted. Pay attention to how the son was greeted by the father. This series of Our House Revisited has got a hold of me. Mike Clarenshaw made this statement. He said, how do you feel about a God who loves people you don't like? How do you feel about that? In the last month, I've had several conversations in my mind and conversations with individuals about things that are going on and things that I see in our nation. And I'm just like, man, I don't know how to process all of this. I don't know how to respond to all of it. I have compassion on the individuals, but I'm irked about some things. I don't know what to do about it. And with their counsel and with their just conversations, just talking through some of that, this is what we should do as a church. We should celebrate the prodigals. We celebrate our neighbors, right? Amen? We celebrate not what they're doing, not the decisions that they're making, but the reality that they're people. And if that sounds like something that you want to be a part of, then man, welcome to the party, because that's what we want to be a part of. That's God's heart. You say, well, I want to be a part of that. What do I do? Glad you asked. We're going to talk about that today. There's four things that I think we see through this passage of Scripture that we can apply to our life. The first one is this, that we show up, we serve, we give, and we invite. Look at it in verse 25 in reference to show up. Watch what happens after the dad said the party was going to happen. Look at it in verse 15. This is talking about the elder son, that he heard music and dancing. How many know the only reason he heard music was because it was turned up, because it was a little bit loud, because you could hear the ruckus? Now, if you've been with us at all during the Seder meals, and Rabbi Dale is leading us through that discussion and leading us through the what the Seder meal means and the Passover meal, he always says this at the front end of that evening. Now, when us Jewish people get together to celebrate a Passover meal or to celebrate a Jewish festival, what does he always say? It's loud. There's a lot of noise. We like to have a party. We like to celebrate. And all us that are like maybe new to that meal, we're just like, it's really quiet, you know, and he's just trying to stir the pot a little bit and let us know that's the culture of the day, that there is noise going on, and the only reason he heard the music is because it was turned up, because there was a bunch of people. How many know if there were three people line dancing in the living room, he's not hearing that? But if there's multiples line dancing in the living room, I don't know if they line dance, but it sounded good to me. Well, I can't do it, but anyway. Right? I mean, he heard multiple sandals stomping. He's like, you hear that? I don't know. What's going on? There's a celebration at my dad's house. What's going on? Everyone showed up. Everyone was getting after it. The whole family was there celebrating. And that is why the elder brother heard the dancing. That is why he heard the music, because everyone was there. And I want to remind you that if this is your church family, the party doesn't work. Can I use the word party? I mean, celebration, if that feels more churchy for you and you feel like more sanctified with that word. The celebration, doesn't work without you. This morning, I want to challenge you. What I want to do as we talk about showing up is I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to shift your mind as to why and how you come to church. What is on your mind as you come to church? Recent stats, as you study and as you read articles like I often do, the average person in America attends church now 1 to 2 times a month. Actually, it's 1.8 times a month the average American Christian will come to church. Think about that. Why is that? Part of the reason is because when we go to church, it's because me is on my mind and not mission on my mind. And here's the deal. When we go to church with me on my mind, you understand by me, not like Pastor Steve, you, right? When I go to church with me on my mind, we have so many options before us. Kids stuff, sports stuff, shopping excursions, barbecues, vacations, and not that any of that stuff is wrong in and of itself, but if we go to church with me on our mind, all of us are really busy, and there's a bunch of stuff that we could be doing. True? It rained again yesterday. The grass has already grown 5 inches this morning. You could be home mowing your yard. If I go to church with me on my mind, then no wonder I only go 25 to 50% of the month. But if I go with mission on my mind, then I realize that I'm a part of a church family that wants to throw celebrations, wants to throw parties for people that are on a journey with Christ, that welcoming people home and helping them connect to the Father. I have ownership in that. I'm a part of that. And if I realize that our house is your house, then I realize that I'm a part of that mission. And I realize that the party isn't the same without me. I understand that the party isn't about me. It's not about how I feel today. Oh man, I woke up this morning. I was so tired. I just really dragged to get here, but I'm here. It's not about me. It's so much bigger than me or I or myself. It's about mission. I'm about a family that's on a mission, and I want to see heaven get more crowded. So we have to shift our thinking. Think about it this way, all right? If I could just kind of put it this way, through the years, our boys have been involved in athletics and have done various things, and I've been privileged to coach them through those years oftentimes, but you know, once Caleb got into middle school, I retired from coaching, and my record wasn't good enough to be called up by the high school, right? But so I retired, and then my focus shifted from coaching to just being a parent, and I can remember when he was a freshman, and taking him up to the high school on Fridays for Friday night football. And I'm thinking, you know, driving him up there, he had his pregame meal already. He had his game face on, and I'm like, you know, driving down Meridian, hey, Caleb, you know, what are you thinking about? And he's like, man, I'm thinking about 43 Monster Blitz 92. And I'm like, all right, okay. Well, I'm thinking about, I hope I have enough money so I can buy a pickle at the game. I hope I have my chair back so I can be comfortable in the bleacher seats, and I got to make sure I bring the cowbell because that's part of just going to Valley Center football games. Got to have a cowbell. But how many of you know? I'm going to the game with me on my mind. He's going to the game with mission on his mind. You know, unless your kid is 8, and sometimes, you know, when the kid is 8, it kind of flips. The kid's thinking, man, hey, son, what's on your mind? I'm wondering if we're going to get another Capri Sun after the game today. And you're, as a parent, thinking, man, I hope my kid runs 93 blast right. And I hope my son becomes Barry Sanders or whatever, you know. You can be in the same car going to the same place. Caleb had the game. He had mission on his mind. And I had me on my mind. And we're going to the same place. And it can happen here, can't it? You can come with me on our mind and not mission on our mind. And some of us come to church to watch, but I'm asking you to come to church with mission. What if you came to church and it isn't about me, it's not about my favorite spot, it's not about my favorite song or my preferences, but because worship isn't about us, it's about him, right? And so what if you showed up and it's about the mission? And understand, I'm not saying that many of us aren't doing this already, but just think about this. What if I show up and I'm looking for someone who I haven't met before, and I'm being intentional with going to that person and introducing myself to them, to letting them know, man, I'm so glad you're at the celebration. Or I'm looking for someone who's looking a little bit alone, or maybe looking a little bit down, and I just, Lord, give me the words to go to them and speak life to them. I don't know what's going on. I may not even need to know what's going on in their life, but Lord, give me the words to speak life to them. It's mission. Or I'm going out of my way to meet someone I don't really know. You know, I've sat like in the same section as you for about 6 months now, and I don't know you. What's your name? It's mission. Or I'm engaged in worship during the song set or during a prayer time, and I'm engaged, I'm interacting with the Father. And I'm doing that because God has my heart. But understand, as you're doing that, may I submit to you, as you're engaged and as you're worshiping, totally oblivious to those that are around you, what you're doing unbeknownst to you is that you're inspiring people around you to step where you're at. I mean, there are people that I just love being in prayer times with. I love being in worship settings with, because they're just like pushing me to go beyond what is safe for me. If you're like, I want to add you to my prayer list. Is there anything that I can be praying for you about this week? Well, yeah, man, you know, be praying for me. But okay, that's mission. Find a student and just speak life into them. Find someone who's ahead of you in life and thank them for investing in future generations. Thank you. Thank them for their investment that they've had in LifePoint up to this point. It's about mission. I mean, we're on a mission, and our mission is to go after prodigals, and we're after people because people matter to God. And understand this. Remember what a prodigal is. A prodigal, the definition of prodigal is just simply that individual who's been wasteful. How many of you have been wasteful in your life at some point in your life? Wasteful with time, wasteful with money, wasteful with relationships, wasteful with whatever. You've been there, you've signed up, you went to that party, and you said, that's no fun. I want to be a place that we're crazy welcoming, because that's what I see in Luke 15. Look, check this out. I read this at the iLead a few weeks ago. I wanted to draw a face to it. I referenced another one last week, but this is from an individual from our church family, Tate Lowe. When my wife and I moved to Valley Center 4 years ago, we were in different places with our faith. My wife was raised in one church her entire life, and faith was a priority. And I was brought up in an Episcopalian church, but it wasn't a priority for myself. We were entering a new season of our lives with new careers, new town, and a point in our marriage where we were starting to have discussion about family. With all those new things occurring, we were searching for a new home for a church and pastors that would bridge the gap between a couple at different places in their faith. We attended several different churches in the area, but never felt any of them were a right fit for us. Then we attended LifePoint. We continued, and he talks about their first impression and how they felt so welcomed. And then he says, we continued to attend LifePoint and joined a small group to develop our relationship with Christ as a couple. I had personally never been a part of a small group before and felt very incompetent. Then I attended and found that they didn't care where I was on my walk, but just wanted to help me move along the way. It was in those groups that I was able to take my personal journey closer to Christ and came to understand my role as a husband and father to lead my family. That is the church. That is what it means to show up. Unfortunately, the Lowe's, I'm mad at them. Are they here today? I was going to say, meet me out in the parking lot, Tate, after church. But the Lowe's are relocating to Dodge City. Had an opportunity. So anyway, but if you would ask him today, he would still say the same thing. To continue to make it so welcoming for people, we have to shift the way we think and quit coming to church with me on my mind and start coming to church with mission on our mind. It will change your experience. Trust me. You may not know exactly what to do or where to serve, but do it. You know, I was thinking about that because there's like, I don't know what to do. If I could reference this as an illustration, but also as an application as to how, when I was a youth pastor, Rob and I were youth pastors in Mount Vernon, Missouri for several years. One night we'd gone to bed. It was a Saturday night. Our phone rang about 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night. And we're like, oh, great. And on the phone was one of our student leaders, an incredible young lady. And Lacey's like, hey, Pastor Steve, this is Lacey. She's crying. She said, Matt Steele was in a car wreck up in Branson, and he died. And so hung up the phone, got up, went over to where Matt lived in the next community over to us. Obviously, his parents weren't there. Found out what hospital they were at, went up to, drove to Branson. I'll never forget it. Though it happened years ago, I'll never forget that walk into the hospital. I'll never forget that walk down the corridor of that hallway. It was empty. It was silent. And as I turned the corner, I'll never forget hearing a mother wailing she was in the morgue. And as I approached that door going, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I've never been in this moment before. They don't teach you this stuff in Bible college. And I remember walking in, looking at Matt's mom and his stepdad. Matt is on the table, and his mom is just sobbing. And I'm crying. And just hugging them. We walked through the rest of the night, left, went to church the next morning, and talked to our pastor in the days that followed, and just said, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. And all he said was this: you did exactly what you needed to do. You were present. It's the ministry of presence. You may think, man, my being here really doesn't matter. But let me tell you something. Your being here is the ministry of presence. Don't discount that. Imagine if all 200 of us, 200 plus of us, I mean, if we all showed up on the same Sunday, it would be like, wow, who is everybody, right? But if all two of us showed up going, man, what can I do? Who can I serve? Who do I don't know? How can I pray for you? And just that environment. Let me move on. You show up, but next you serve. Think about this party from Luke 15. They're pulling it together quickly, right? There's no time to send out invitations. There's no time to check social media and see if you've been invited and say, I'm going, check the I'm going box on Facebook or anything like that. They just show up. The party is now. It's a great time. Spontaneity. How many of you thrive in such an environment of spontaneity? You're just like, man, I love spontaneity. I just enjoy that. Anyone? A few of us, all right, you know, Michael is like, you know, he loves spontaneity. He is just like, hey, I can make anything a party. Let's go. But there's other of us, you know, you're like, man, you can't. We got to plan it about 5 months out before we can have a party, you know, because spontaneity stresses you out. But think about what's happening here. Think about what happens when a big family dinner is getting ready to happen. I mean, all hands are on deck, right? I mean, there's people cleaning. There's people in the kitchen prepping the food. There's people decorating. And everyone's in on it. But there's always someone, some kid or someone somewhere, like sitting on the couch eating Doritos playing a video game. And you're like running the vacuum under their feet and going, hey, we need everybody. All hands are on deck. And they're like Cousin Eddie. But be part of the family. Celebrate this. Celebrate this with me. That there's over 100 people serving in some way, some capacity at Life Point Church. Isn't that awesome? I think that is so cool. I mean, think about when you ask a kid, your kid, if you've had a kid at home and you're like, hey, I need you to pick up your room. I need you to do this. And I asked Caleb if I could share this story. And he said, yeah, that's fine, Dad. Go ahead. Use me as your sermon illustration. Just pay my college fund. But so when he was younger, you know, the boys had chores and we were like, hey, you live here. You can help out here. And so it was his week. And this happened every time it was his week. It was like, hey, the list says you need to go visit Aspen in the backyard and spend time with what Aspen leaves behind. You have poop duty today. And it was so funny when he was a little kid because Caleb was like this chunky, you want to just pinch his cheeks, cute kid, right? And he's out in the backyard. He's like, comes out of the garage. No lie, no exaggeration. I mean, he's just like, you know, making the long trek across. You would have thought our backyard was a football field, you know. Oh, my knees hurt. Oh, do I have to? And then he would get to a pile and he would start. We just had to ride him out. You're going to get through it, son. Just go ahead. And his older brother would get so mad at him. It was so funny. But every time you serve, you aren't making coffee and replenishing the donuts. You aren't shaking hands and opening doors for people when they come in. You aren't corralling a bunch of donut-charged 10-year-olds in the kids' area trying to just keep them safe for a few more minutes. You aren't playing an instrument. You know what you're doing? You are opening up the door, and you are welcoming prodigals. That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing every time you are making our house your house. It's pretty awesome. Verse 22, but the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring the fattened calf and kill it and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. They began to celebrate. It was like this. You get the robe. Hey, you go get the ring. You get the new shoes. He needs some shoes. Go get them. You back there. Get the fat calf. Get it ready. You go wax the dance floor because we're going to have a celebration. I need you and I need you and I need you and I need you to be a part of it. And we'll all clean this up together afterwards. That's what it looks like when you make our house your house. It takes everyone. And if this is your church and you're like, man, get me in the game. What do I do? You can do it on your, if you're not involved yet, man, make a note on your connection card. You can go to the website under the ministries tab. There's a serve tab. You can click there. You can go to Starting Point. We'll do Starting Point in August. But serving not only makes a difference in others' lives, it makes a difference in your life. God's word says this in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. I love this verse. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. How many times have I found that to be true? Number three is give. Let's be real. Without resources, there are no way to welcome prodigals. Without resources, there's no fattened calf, there's no rings, there's no sandals, there is no celebration without resources. True? Check out the heart of the Father. This is the heart that I want. This is the heart that I want for Life Point. Verse 22, but the Father said to his servants, I know we've read it, but I want to read it again. bring quickly the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring the fattened calf and kill it and let us eat and celebrate. In other words, don't just grab the scrawny old calf in the back of the barn because we don't know if the son's going to stay around. Bring the best. Get the best robe, get the best ring, get the good sandals. And the father says, when it comes to resourcing the house to welcome prodigals, you get my first and you get my best. And when Jesus was telling his disciples what was in store, when he would begin to talk about the church, he would tell them that it's going to be the strongest evangelistic tool that the world has ever seen. He would tell them that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. He wasn't building a country club. He was building the greatest instrument to reach the world with hope. And we get a partner with that. And when you get a partner with that, you partner it with your time and you partner with your treasures. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, Brian Jansen did an incredible job in Sunday school talking about Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. But Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 says this, that there may be food in my house. The house that's prepared for prodigals, the house that's prepared to meet needs for people. How many know God knows that you are human and knows that will test us, what will test us and what will stretch us? How many know 100% is more than 90%, right? And you may think, man, I need 101% to live off of. And God says, no, test me in this, prepare my house. You bring the 10 and see what I can do with the rest. And he says, test me. I want to challenge you that if this is your church, this is your church family, that you show up, you serve, and you give. Not because we need your money. That's not the motive of it at all. You need to give because you need to see God work in your life. And you'll see God work in your life. You don't give to get. You give to give. To open up, hey God, I need you and I want you to have full access to my life. And you, in doing so, you resource things like Convoy of Hope and you resource the Hornet Anger and did I say anger? Yeah. Watch out, Sarah. She's mean. But anyway, I didn't mean the Hornet Hanger. Sorry about that. It's a little slip of the tongue. But did you know in Kansas, there are 32 counties in the state of Kansas without an Assembly of God church. There may be churches there, but when I think about the mission, I think God wants to reach people. People in the communities like Nest City that a church is getting ready to be planted there, and we're in conversation with them. How can we come alongside you and serve you? When you think of globally, it wasn't too long ago we gave to Albania Fire Bible Project. And in February, we're going to Colombia. And you know what we're going to be doing in Colombia? We're going to be working with Venezuelan refugees that are in this neighborhood where this church that's been planted in this neighborhood, Venezuelan refugees have come across the border looking for hope with absolutely nothing. And so we don't know how much we're going to be rubbing shoulders with them, but they're there. It's mission. And it happens when we give. If you are, this is your church, and you give, let me just say thank you for your faithfulness. If you're like, man, I haven't started doing that, but I really feel compelled to do that, thank you. There's ways to do it, whether you do it Sunday mornings through the bucket, you know, as we receive the offering, or you go online and do it, but thank you. I don't talk a lot about it, but when it comes to giving, I don't know I know who gives because I watch during tithe and offering time, all right? But I don't know amounts. The only time I really investigate when it comes to leadership, when it comes time to nominate elders, I want to know if the elders are givers, if they're faithful in their giving? Does it look like they because look, you're putting them in a position to lead you. Not only is it with elders, but it's with pastoral staff. If I'm looking for a staff member, I want to know from their district. I want to know from their pastor, are they givers? Because if they're not givers and if they're not faithful in tithing, they can't lead you. True? You can't lead someone where you're not willing to go. And so that's a big deal. And so giving is challenging. You're like, Steve, is this hard for you to talk about? No, because it's not about me. It's about mission. The last thing I want to challenge you to do is this, is to invite. Look at Luke 15 again. See what the dad does. He's already lost a third of his estate, right? But he says, get the robe, get the ring, get the sandals, and the fattened calf, because we're going to have some beef. We're going to celebrate. And he doesn't stop there. He goes, he's already invited the wayward son in, but he goes out and he finds the oldest son at the end of the driveway or wherever, and he engages the oldest son. The prodigal, the wasteful one, has already been invited in, and now he goes to the oldest son, the one who has been present. He'd been in the house, but his heart really was just as selfish as his younger brother. And the eldest son, though he was there, didn't have the heart of the father. And he goes to them, and he's like, son, my house is your house. Come to the party. Come be a part, verse 28. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you. I have never disobeyed your command, but yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed a fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and he's found. The father invites both of them in, the wayward son and the son outside murmuring about the situation. He invites the neighbors, he invites extended family in, and the dad realizes that both these boys need to celebrate. But they aren't going to experience it unless someone invites them in. So he goes out and he does so. Last week, if you weren't here on the back table and at the Welcome Center, I encourage you to pick up this little magnet thing. We've been talking about, you've been seeing this little graphic through the year. There's 9 boxes with your house right in the middle of it. And the idea is I'm asking you to begin to pray for your neighbors, learn to know their names, with the hope someday, it's not agenda driven, because you're gonna get to know their name, you're gonna pray for them, and you're gonna invest relationship time with them, but in hopes to someday, hey, I'd like to invite you to church, man. We go to church, you know, every Sunday, or you know, and we want you to be our guest. Would you come and join us? And you invite them, just like the father invited his sons in and invited the neighbors that surrounded his house. And you're like, well, I have a friend that I would like to invite. What do I need to do? Well, in the fall, we'll be starting up Alpha class again. And Alpha is a great tool. We're trying to get it going, but it's a great tool for those that have questions about God, those that are like, I'm not sure. It's a great avenue. They'll meet on Wednesday nights down at the coffee shop again, I think is the plan, but we'll announce that as it gets closer. But I want to challenge you to start taking some risks and to invite people to come with you. How many know we won't be perfect, right? But Jesus promises us that his presence will be with us. So if we are on his mission, I have to believe that he's going to be present with power, with life, and with love. So take a risk and invite. And when you do, God does miracles. Someone doesn't have to give their life to Christ at church, but he loves to use his church. Let me ask you a question. if you found Christ while you attended a Sunday service or a Wednesday night service or whatever the circumstances may be, but you encountered God at a service, or maybe you encountered God at church, and man, what was spoken, what was prayed over you, what that moment marked you. It impacted your life. Raise your hand. You encountered God at church sometime, some way. Raise your hand. Can you leave them up? Can you look around? Just look around real quick. That is why Jesus got so excited about the church, because the gates of hell can't stop it. And that's why Jesus believes in the church. Amen? And when we take risks to invite people to it, he is using the church that will build and change lives today. And it's still happening. Next Sunday or next weekend is my 30th class reunion. I know you're like, wow, where is the fountain of youth? Right? We're not going back to it, but it just kind of spurred some thoughts and memories in my mind this past week. And a friend of mine had called me and said, hey, are you going? But I said, no. But begin to think about my journey in faith in Christ. Because when I was a junior in high school, a friend had kept invited me to his youth group. And I said, no. And then finally, I've told the story, but I finally went up to him in the weight room after school on a Wednesday and said, hey, can I go to youth group tonight with you? You going? He said, yeah, I'm going, man. I'd love for you to come with me. I went. God got a hold of my life. Went to a camp a year later or whatever it was. And God's calling for my life became clear. It wasn't all laid out, but it became clear. And then I had the opportunity to move to Kansas and do a summer youth pastor internship. And so I went, and I went with an open mind. God, if I feel like you want me to stay, I just want to let you know I'm willing to stay. Whatever I can do to serve you, God, whatever I can do to just avail myself to you, I want to do that. And I went and I made a decision. I really felt, after praying, I really felt like God wanted me to stay. Surprisingly, they wanted me to stay, and it all worked out. But 2 weeks later, I met my wife. And we got married. And I'm just like, man, God, you're awesome. Because I married way out of my league. And we got married, and then we've had two boys. And now those two boys are serving Jesus and responding to the call of God on their life and making themselves available to whatever and however the Lord wants to use them, still flushing that out in their life. But they're like, God, here am I. Now let me ask you a question. Why did that happen? That all happened because of one invite. Two generations and counting are going to heaven because of one invite. You don't think your invite matters? It's huge. Your invite can change generations. Amen? Isn't that awesome? That's mission. That's our house is your house. And think about what God can do in and through your life, Michael, if you would come. In and through your church family. It isn't just about showing up. We're showing up on mission. And the bonus is God is doing a work on us in the process. And we're part of something bigger than us as individuals. And if you're like, man, I'm in. I can be in on that. Maybe you're already doing those four things, and if you are, man, thank you. But maybe you're here and you're like, man, I need to begin. I don't know where to start. Then just start with one of them. Just pick one and start doing it. And get in the game. you're like, man, I want to be a part of our house is your house. I want to be a part of making heaven more crowded. Show up, serve, give, invite. Be part of the Luke 15 celebration that continues to live on this day around the globe, because it's so fun when you engage and you're a part of what God is doing. Amen?
Everybody dance. Everybody.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.